Hello, this is Ilana Goldstein-Sachs of Web Yeshiva with this week's Supporting Actor of the Week podcast. This week we're going to take a look at the character of Yael, who is a woman who shows up in the fourth and fifth chapters of the Book of Shoftim. The story of Yael, at least in its broad strokes, is pretty well known, right? When Sisra, the general of Yavin, the king of Canaan, is fleeing the battlefield where Barak and his soldiers under Devorah's leadership are defeating his army. Yael, who is from the Keni tribe, more on that in a moment, ushers him into her tent, ostensibly to give him food and drink, a warm blanket. Of course, apparently there was a big storm raging outside in addition to the battle. To tuck him into bed, right? And then she, however, kills him with a tent peg through the brain. Now, one could discuss, although I will not, what exactly Yael used to lure the worn-out Sisra into her clutches. Was it simply the promise of a warm shelter and some food? Was it the exceptional hospitality that she gave him, right, giving him milk instead of water, treating him with the utmost respect so that he'd never suspect a thing? Or was it, as even Chazal suggests, that she promised him and indeed gave him something even more, right, as one line of Midrashic exegesis interprets the evocative words of Perek Hey Pasuk Kaf Zayin, Veha Mevin Yavin. You know, that's one thing that one could discuss. That's not going to be my focus here. In all cases, regardless of how or why she actually lured him in, the story in Perek Dalet, and even more so the poetic version of the story in Shirat Dvarav, Perek Hey, sees Yael as a hero, right? She is the brave woman who single-handedly brought down the heartless and the ruthless enemy of Bnei Israel by killing their general, Sisra. Something which the male soldiers and the general of Yisrael, the story emphasizes, were not able to do on their own. She was a woman who succeeded in doing what the men who went out to battle could not do, and therefore she fulfilled a responsibility which some of the tribes of Yisrael shirked altogether by not even going out into battle. Right? See Perek Hey, Pasuk Gimel, among other psukim. And the results of her actions is quiet for Bnei Israel for 40 years. Now this refrain of Sefer Shoftim, Vatishkot Haaretz Shana, right, the land was quiet for 20, 40, whatever number of years, right, that's generally attributed to the Shoftim of the book, right, the official leaders that we hear about in the Book of Shoftim. And indeed, there is at least one opinion which states, right, based on Perek Hey Pasuk Vav, that Yael was no mere tent dweller, but rather she was an important leader, right? She was a shofetet, as it were, of her time. Beyond her bravery and perhaps her unusual status, one thing that makes Yael interesting is the question of exactly who she was, meaning what was her national identity. Now, the exact nature of the relationship of the Keni, right, her tribe, and Bnei Israel is unclear. In Bamidbar Perek Yud, Moshe invites Chovav, Moshe's brother-in-law, Yael's ancestor, to join Bnei Israel as they enter the land. And the story there, you can go take a look, ends a bit vaguely as to whether he comes right away with Bnei Israel. What we do know, however, from later books, after the Torah, right, from the books of Shoftim and the books of Shmuel, that the Keni is definitely living among Bnei Israel later on in history. At the beginning of Sefer Shoftim, we are told that they move from Ir HaTzmarim, meaning from Yericho, to live amongst Shevet Yehuda in Midbar Yehuda. In our story, the story of Yael, we are told that Chever, Yael's husband, and his family, his group, break off from the Keni, who were living in the south, and they move up north, which is significant, if for no other reason, that it puts them in the place where the battle is taking place between Sisra and Barak and Dvorah, right? So it puts Yael in the right place. It explains why Yael was living where she was living when the rest of the Keni was down south. But as we'll see, that this break between the family of Chever and Yael and the rest of the Keni might be significant in other ways. We'll get to that in a moment. And later on, right, in the book of Shmuel, Shaul HaMelech, when he goes out to battle Amalek in Perek Tedvav, tells the Keni to separate themselves from the Amalekim, because they were dwelling amongst the Amalekim. Right? Both the Keni and the Amalekim were nomadic tribes, right, who would move from place to place, and they did this in the same general area. So Shaul tells them to separate from the Amalekim because when he kills the Amalekim, he doesn't want to kill them as well. Why, he explains? Because they are the opposite of Amalek. When Bnei Israel left Egypt, the Amalekim attacked, and they attacked in a particularly devious, mean way, and that's why Shaul has to kill them, right, following the law of the Torah that says to wipe out Amalek. But the Kenim, right, the descendants of Yitro, are the opposite, right? Yitro was the one who embraced Am Yisrael when they were leaving Egypt, right? Who supported them, who helped them, and some say even converted to become one of them. So the Kenim are the opposite of Amalek. So the question, though, however, is, at this point in the story, are they living amongst Bnei Israel? Have they, quote, converted? Are they living in the land but still a distinct nation? As perhaps the fact that they were scattered among the Amalekim would seem to apply, it's not clear. And there are different opinions among the Mefarshim on this issue. Many Midrashim seem, at least possibly, to assume that Yael is, you know, quote, Jewish, meaning that she had become part and parcel of Am Yisrael, right? And this is in the types of the Midrashim and other statements in Torah Shabbat Alper, where they are weighing halachic issues that are connected to the various parts of the story of Yael, right, her actions and her behaviors, by halachic standards. And so if they're judging her by halachic standards, or are learning things in halacha through the story, so it would seem that they are assuming that she is, you know, one of us. Otherwise, why hold her to halachic standards? And there are also other Mefarshim who say that the reference that I mentioned earlier, which seems to imply that Yael was a shofetet, would also seem to assume that she was a member of the tribe, so to speak. So, because otherwise, why would she be a shofetet? Why would she be mentioned with, if you look in the Pasuk, Shamgar ben Anat, who was a shofet of Am Yisrael? So why would she be mentioned as one of them if she wasn't also part of Am Yisrael? Right? Clearly, this could be explained in other ways, but there are different sources that seem to imply or assume that Yael is now part of Am Yisrael. Others, however, don't see it this way, and instead see the Keni as a tribe that was living in the land with some sort of connection to Am Yisrael, on the one hand, as well as the Kena'anim on the other hand. And no matter how you want to understand the story and the status of the Kenim at this point, it is clear that as you see in Perek Dalet Pasuk Yud Zayin, it clearly states that Chever, the Keni, and his, you know, group, had some sort of peace between the Kena'anim, right, which was definitely not the case with Am Yisrael in general at this point in history. So they seem to be distinct, at least in some ways, from Am Yisrael. And also from the fact that Sisera clearly trusts Yael, also shows that she and the Kenim in general are seen differently than Am Yisrael as a whole. So clearly their identity as a different group, in all cases, is preserved, at least on some level. The Malbim, quoting other Mefarshim, brings up a question of how Yael could do what she did, how could she kill Sisera, right, given that they were at peace with the Kena'anim, right? It's not ethical, he says. If you're at peace with another nation, then how can you go and kill their general? So he suggests different possibilities. He suggests that perhaps if the treaty was with Chever, Yael's husband, perhaps the women were not held to this treaty the same way as the men were. A more interesting answer that the Malbim suggests is that Chever had actually split off from the rest of the Keni, right? As I mentioned earlier, he had moved up north, they were down south. And so he was not held to any previous treaties and agreements, right? He kind of split off. He was his own group now. That doesn't seem to be what the Pshat saying, which says that there was Shalom with Chever specifically, but he's suggesting that perhaps they still lived at peace, yeah, but Chever, but there was no official treaty. Chevre had broken off from the Keni, and he was not part of that group anymore. So a different approach to this whole question suggests something that's almost the opposite, that the Keni were closely aligned with Israel, right? That the Keni as a group had, you know, again, either converted or were very, very closely associated with Am Yisrael, and that Chever, by breaking off with the rest of the Keni, was setting himself apart, and he had this peace, this shalom, with the Avin, with the Kenanim, right? Which was not true, this theory holds, with the rest of the Kenim. And so if that's the case, then Yael did what she did, in spite of the closeness, the unusual closeness between Chever and his group of Kenim and the Kenanim. In all cases, what we have here with Yael is a woman, in a situation which is actually not all that different from her famous ancestor, right? Again, the Kenim are all descended from Yitro, right? Moshe's father-in-law. He too, right? Was in a position which was kind of betwixt and between, right? He was an outsider who clearly had a strong connection to Am Yisrael, but was not quite inside. But when it came down to it, right, he sided, you know, strongly with Am Yisrael. He comes to Har Sinai because he hears of the great things that Hashem did for Am Yisrael, whether that be Yitziat Mitzrayim or Kriyat Yam Suf or the battle with Amalek or Matan Torah, right, as different commentaries suggest, right, what was the reason that drove Yitro to meet Moshe, go and meet Moshe in the desert. Whatever it was, the greatness of Hashem's actions, one or the other, drew him towards Am Yisrael. But there was an implication in some sources that with Yitro there was an ethical issue as well, right? As I mentioned, when Shaul tells the Keni to separate from the Amaleki before he set out to destroy them, the pasuk there explains in Perek Tetvav of Shmuel Aleph that unlike the Amalekim, who dealt meanly and unfairly with Am Yisrael when they left Egypt, not to mention that they snubbed God. You know, by doing that, they were basically not recognizing the great miracles that Hashem had just performed for Am Yisrael, as opposed to all the other nations who recognized this greatness, who feared God because of all the miracles that He had done. You know, around the time of Yitziat Mitzrayim, right? The Amalekim are known are referred to as Lo Yireh Elokim, right? They don't recognize the greatness of God, and as opposed to the Amalekim, Yitro, right, and company dealt very kindly with Am Yisrael. And this also is in many different ways, whether it be Yitro welcoming Moshe into his family, recognizing him, coming to meet him in Har Sinai, recognizing his role, his greatness, his connection to God. Whether it's talking about Chovav, the son of Yitro, who was with them in the desert, right in Perek Yud of Bamidbar, as I mentioned, or whether it's when Yitro helps Moshe develop a workable, fair justice system, right in as we see in Perek Yutet of Yudchet of Sefer Shmot. He and his tribe are viewed as the opposite of Amalekim. Right, the Amalekim are the non-God recognizing, conniving, sneaky, praying attackers from behind, whereas Yitro is the opposite. As an aside, you can see the commentary of the Shaddal, who mentions just before Parshat Zachor in Sefer Devarim, Kapched of Sefer Devarim, the connection between cheating and the lack of fair play and Amalek, because these are all the mitzvot in that little section leading up to the mitzvah of Michiat Amalek, all deal with things like that, right? So you can see, you can go look for the Shaddal over there, and I'll supply it for you in the sources on the website. So Yael too, right? Like Yitro, is in a kind of in between position, and whichever position you follow, in terms of where the Keni were, where Chever was, and where Yael were, right? They all of them are in some sort of betwixt and between position, like Yitro was. It's a complicated place, but it's one which nevertheless allows for a certain amount of ability to choose, right? If Yael were, you know, clearly, unequivocally a member of Am Yisrael, then it would still be heroic, but it wouldn't be surprising what she does. She, however, is in this position where she is able to choose what she wants to do, and this is just like what Yitro does. Right? He also is in a place where he can look at what is going on and choose to be with Am Yisrael. So why did she choose to do what she did? Why did she do this heroic act on the part of Am Yisrael, for Am Yisrael so clearly? It's not entirely clear. Could it be that she chose to do this because she saw the hand of God on the side of Am Yisrael? Right? With Sisera running by her tent, she clearly knew who was winning this battle. And perhaps she saw that as a sign, right, that God was with Am Yisrael and this is what she needed to do. Appropriately, the victory of Am Yisrael, or the description of the victory of Am Yisrael, rather, alludes to the earlier miracles that Hashem did for Am Yisrael of Ma'amad Har Sinai and Kriyat Yam Suf. Right, I'll supply the sources on the website to see some of these parallels as well. These are the very things that made an impression on Yitro. So maybe those allusions, among other reasons, are a way of saying that the same things that impressed Yitro are the things that are impressing Yael. Or maybe it was more the ethical issues that I mentioned earlier in connection with Yitro. Right? Could it be that Midian, which was a particularly cruel enemy, right? If you look at the descriptions of Midian and what they did to Am Yisrael, both at the beginning of Perek Dalet as well as in Shirat Devarah, they were particularly harsh, and they particularly took advantage of their relative strengths to do harm to Am Yisrael beyond battle, right? They did things that went beyond general battles into ways that basically made the general population miserable and took over every aspect of their life. Is it possible that aspect of Midian might have turned Yael against them, right? It turned her from being a potential ally of Canaan to being in favor of Am Yisrael, the same way that Yitro chose a path that was so different from Amalek, right? So we see too that Yael is similar to Yitro, not only on the in the sense of recognizing the greatness of God, possibly, but also in the ethical issues that, or the ethical parallels between these two events. Again, it's hard to say why Yael did what she did, but one thing we can say very clearly is that she follows in the tradition of the Keni who came before her. And that seems to be, in one way or another, the thing that drove her to do this heroic act for Am Yisrael.